means, and grant unto thy servants that with all boldness they may speak thy word by stretching forth thine hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done by the name of thy holy child Jesus. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness. May the Lord bless his word, and you may be seated. Praise God. The setting of Acts chapter 4 here, this is following the miracle of the lame man that you can read about in detail in chapter 3 of the book of Acts. He was brought daily and laid at the gate called Beautiful. And Peter and John, going into the temple at the hour of prayer, walked by him, no doubt thinking and wondering what they were going to do when they got to him. I think it was probably a familiar sight and a familiar case for them to see this man that way. I've described it this way. I don't know that it was, but I suppose that there were times that Peter and John had some silver and some gold, and when they walked by him, they put it into his hand and helped him out. It just seemed like today they just happened to not have any. I can almost see them checking their pockets. I can almost see one, you know, a little bit embarrassing, like you are sometimes when you have a meal with somebody, you realize you forgot your wallet. And you realize it earlier in the meal that you did, and you got to try to figure out a tactful way to get them to pay for your meal. Come on now. Don't look at me that way. I know you've all been there sometime or another. It seemed like, you know, John, you got anything? Man, just hand me something I can put in there. And he checks his pockets. Peter checks his. Neither one of them have anything. And they're getting closer and closer all the time. So they get within earshot of him, and some faith comes in their heart, I guess. And they said to him, "Silver and gold have we none, but such as we have, in the name of Jesus, rise up and walk." And Peter reached out and took him by the hand, just give him a little boost, amen. And immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. And he went to church with them that day. He went with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. Oh, what a wonderful miracle. Amen. You'd have thought that it made everybody happy. I mean, it seemed like everybody in Jerusalem would have been thrilled. Here's a lame man that's been lame all of these years, and now he's well. But that's not the way it was. In chapter 4, you will find out that those, especially the religious leaders, amen, and it just so happens to be that this is the same crew, this is the same bunch, this is the same ones that had just a few days had falsely condemned our Savior to death. That they hadn't had a re-election. And things hadn't changed yet. It's the same old ones. Amen. And what they didn't like was because Peter and John said that this notable miracle was done in Jesus' name. Amen. Jesus, well, that's that man we crucified. That's that man we thought we was getting rid of. And we'd never hear anything more about him again. And here now his disciples are curing somebody that all of us know have been a lame man all of these years. And he's up walking around, and they are not happy. Amen. By the time the service got over that day, I'm not sure what it was, the time of the day, the hour of prayer, but evidently revival broke out there. And along in the eventide, that crew, the Sanhedrin, had to decide what to do. So they locked up Peter and John in a hold, and they said, "Tomorrow we'll convene court, and we'll call for them, and we'll examine them." And that's what they done. Amen. And that's where we're reading in chapter 4. They brought them, they examined them, and they let them go because of the pressure of the people around them, because they could not deny, and they all had to agree that a notable miracle had taken place in this man's life. So all they could do was straightly threaten them, amen, to not speak anymore. They were grieved because they taught the people that through the name of Jesus that healings and cures were being done. Well, thank God. Aren't you glad you know the Savior that is still yet able in this generation to heal the sick and cleanse the lepers and meet your need, whatever it happens to be? Hallelujah. Amen. So they were let go. They just threatened them and said, don't ever do it again. And they let them go. And you'll find in this scripture, this is where the disciples said, they had the question, should we obey God? You decide, should we obey God or should we obey men? Which one? You judge which we ought to do. Amen. Hallelujah. Oh, yes. And so they left, and the word said they went to their own company, which was the church. Amen. How many knows what happens when the church gets together? Y'all going to help me preach tonight? When the church gets together, it's not always for a bean supper. It's not always for homemade ice cream. It's not always for pizza and hot dogs. But every once in a while, the church will come together for prayer. Hallelujah. And they come to their own company and had a prayer meeting. And they requested, that's what I read to you tonight. In that prayer meeting, they said, Lord, this was the prayer of the disciples, Peter and John. Lord, grant unto thy servant that with all boldness we may speak thy word by stretching forth your hand to heal. Is there anybody in the house tonight that would like to have the mighty hand of God reach right down where you are and meet your need and answer your prayer and work on your dilemma? I got good news for you tonight. The prayer of the disciples were answered. We have a God with a long hand. We have a God that's able to work in any situation. We have a God that's able to work no matter how dire the circumstances are. His hand can go anywhere. And they prayed, and when they had prayed, the place was shaken. Amen. And they went out of there and continued to speak the word of God with boldness. Can you say amen? Oh, hallelujah. An outstretched hand. They requested of the Lord that he would stretch forth his hand. It's no mystery to me that Peter would request the hand of the Lord, because he knew something about what the hand of the Lord could do. Amen. Because one night he had had an encounter on a stormy sea just a little while before. Amen. When Jesus was coming to them on the water, and they were troubled and they were frightened. Amen. Because of the storm that had overtaken them in that fourth watch of the night. And Jesus come walking to them on the water. Amen. You remember that story. Peter said, Lord, amen, after they were frightened and scared and not knowing what they were going to do, and now they're seeing spirits or ghosts and they don't know about that, and here they are in a storm of their life, but somebody decided and determined that it was Jesus. And Peter, with some faith in his heart, said, Lord, if that's you bid me come to you on the water. Amen. Oh, come on, church, work with me tonight. And Peter got out of that boat in that raging storm and walk to Jesus on the water. Amen. Oh, yes, I know what happened to him. He got distracted like we do sometimes in our storms and in our things of life that come our way. And he got his eyes off of his source of strength, and he began to sink. But because it was Jesus, and because the faith he had, there was a mighty hand of the Savior reached down and caught Peter and lifted him up and rescued him. Amen. I believe that's why Peter was praying, Lord, this kind of has that same feeling that I had that night on the stormy sea. And I just believe if you would stretch forth your hand into my situation right now, you can do the same thing for me tonight as you did so many years ago on the stormy sea. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. That is the night that Peter walked on the water, and he had to be rescued by the hand of the Lord. Isaiah chapter 59:1 said, behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that he cannot save. Amen. The Lord's hand is not shortened that he cannot save. Neither is his ear heavy that he cannot hear. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Because we have learned to trust in his hand in the past, that gives us confidence that we can trust His hand in our future. And nobody knows what's ahead of us. Amen. Peter knew what to pray because he looked back in his past in the storm of his life when it looked like he was going to go down and fail, that the hand of God reached out and touched him. So he prayed in his other battle, Lord, stretch forth your hand and grant unto thy servant that with all boldness we may speak thy word by stretching forth your hand to heal. Amen. I want to tell you something tonight, church. There's always going to be another battle. There's always going to be another contest. There's always going to be another challenge. There's always going to be another stormy night when you don't know what you're going to do. But the same hand that picked you up the last time has not lost its power. It's not lost its strength. It is still able to rescue you in any storm that you're in. Hallelujah. The hand of the Lord is not shortened. We have learned to trust in Him. Amen. A little bit later on, I'm trying to hurry. I really don't think I'm going to be preaching too much longer here. Amen. Peter finds himself in a situation where he needs that prayer that he prayed in Acts chapter 4 to be answered. He prayed that the Lord would stretch forth His hand to heal. He remembered what Christ had done for him in the past. He knew he needed His strength and help in the situation he was in right then. But now, a little while later, he finds himself in another situation where he is going to need that prayer that he prayed that's recorded in Acts chapter 4 to be answered. Hallelujah. Look at Acts chapter 12 and verse 1. Now about the time that Herod the king... chapter 12, verse 1. Now about the time Herod the king stretched forth his hands. Now what do you think about that? Herod's now, he's gonna show what he can do. Herod stretched forth his hand. That's what the word says. To vex certain of the church. And he killed James, the brother of John, with the sword. And because he saw that it pleased the Jews, he proceeded further to take Peter also. Then were the days of unleavened bread. Oh, hallelujah. Verse number 4. And when he had apprehended him, he put him in prison and delivered him to four quarters of soldiers, my goodness, to keep him in tending after Easter to bring him forth to the people. Peter therefore was kept in prison, but prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. And there's so many things I could preach right now. I could preach on prayer. I don't know why there's still yet so little of it that goes on in the Holiness Pentecostal Church when we know what prayer does and we know what it can do. And I know people sometimes, Brother Frank, that battle with things in their life. I'm talking about for years that one real earnest prayer meeting, God would loose them from that and they'd be out from under that burden. Why in the world people won't do it is beyond me. But I wonder tonight what God would do here at Bethany if we had a praying church that would say, I know somebody that's in need. I know somebody that's in trouble. And I believe God will hear my prayer. And I believe His hand is long enough and strong enough to reach where they are and pull them up out of that place they're in. Oh, thank you, Jesus. I mean, Herod, he was mean in business. Of course, you know, the disciples, they were sort of like a... somebody that tries to just, you know, slip out of jail and they can just get in and out because they had been delivered a time or two. I feel quite sure, Brother Robbie, that that's the reason that he had all these soldiers, I mean, a whole bunch of them around him, four quatrains around him, and he's in the inner prison all the way back in the third ward. I mean, he wasn't taking any chances. I've killed James, the brother John, and the people like that that's helped me politically, and now I'm just going to go ahead and stretch out my hand and take Peter also. Boy, I'm so glad Peter prayed that prayer so long ago. Amen. Let me just stop and preach to somebody here tonight and try to encourage you. Let me tell you something. It does not matter what you have locked up in the prison of your past. It doesn't matter what's in your mind that you feel like you can't get over. It doesn't matter how bad you've been hurt. It doesn't matter how much you've been offended. It doesn't matter what somebody else has done to you. You may feel like you're in the storm of your life, but I want to tell you something. The long hand of the Master I serve knows no limits, and wherever you are and whatever you're battling and whatever you feel like that you can't get over and get past, I've got good news for you tonight. God that I serve, the Jesus Christ that I'm preaching about tonight, His arm, His hand is long enough to reach into the deepest, darkest crevices of your heart. Amen. Those things you want covered up, those things you'll never talk about to anybody, those things you'll never let be brought to the surface. And if it looks like it's going to be, you find a way to cut it off. But let me tell you something. God's hand, the master physician, He wants to get in that dark place. He wants to get in that broken place. He wants to get in that place in your heart that nobody else goes, not even yourself. And He wants to fix you. He wants to cleanse you. He wants to make you whole. He wants to give you a new heart and a new life. He wants to change your direction. Amen. And His hand is long enough. You may have Him shut out. You may have learned how to shut everybody out. And you even shut God out. Amen. But I tell you tonight, His hand is long enough, and He's strong enough, and He's smart enough to reach where you are. Amen. The reason He wants to do that, it's not to embarrass you. It's not to make you feel bad. It's because He loves you so much, and He knows what's broken in your life, and He knows that He can fix it. Somebody shout hallelujah in the house. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Can I get a witness here tonight? Has He done that for you? Amen. How about it, Sister Sherry? Did He do that for you? After all those years, Brother Ken, you're away from God, and all the lies of the devil, you'd never be back, never find your way back, never feel that feeling again, never have that opportunity again. Oh, I'm telling you, God had to reach a long ways. I'm telling you, there's a lot of times it looked hopeless. It looked like it would never happen. But lo and behold, one Sunday morning, here they came walking in, and they couldn't hardly wait for the altar service to start up. Up so they could come and get it right with God. Oh, hallelujah. Man, man, man. His hand. It's great. I'm telling you. Don't try to shut Him out. Woo, hallelujah. I could take some time to preach about Peter being delivered. It was a great, miraculous thing. The night before his execution, he's just sleeping like a baby. Chained to two soldiers in the third ward of the prison. Ain't no way he's getting out. They ain't taking any chances with him. If he does, by some supernatural, miraculous strength, he's going to have to drag two soldiers. They're chained to him. And he's just having a good night's rest right there in the prison house. Oh, I wish I could help somebody tonight. You know, when you know you're covered by the hand of God. I heard him talk about that little sister. Maybe it was Brother Bill Houston told about that. Maybe it was Brother Benny Sutherland. I don't know. I want to give credit in the right place. That little woman that served God all those years, loved the Lord, walked faithful, and she, you know, got something wrong with her. Maybe it was cancer. I don't know. Maybe a number of things. And they finally talked her into going to the doctor and seeing if they could get something done. She's way up in years. And they started telling her, you know, after running the test, you got this, and you got this, and you got this, and you got this is going to happen to you. You got to do this. You know, and she's just taking it fine. She told him, she said, "Don't you be prophesying over me, sonny boy." And then she went on to say, "Are you trying to scare me with heaven? You ain't moving me. If I die, I'm just going to heaven." Well, you can have that confidence. Seemed like that's where Peter was. All these years, God rescued me that night on the troubled sea. I prayed over there. It's recorded in Acts chapter 4 when it looked like my ministry was going down in blazes. I prayed that God would stretch forth his hand and heal. And so maybe it's my time. I'm just going to might as well get a good night's rest. I'll see you in the morning, Lord. I'll be on in there. As soon as they knock my head off my shoulders, I'll be there. That must have been the attitude he had because he's dealing with it just fine. But right in the middle of that good restful sleep, he gets a little nudge on the side. And to his surprise, maybe, I don't know, he looks up. Here's this angel in his room there. He said, Peter, come on, Peter. Wake up. Bind on your sandals. Amen. Come on, Peter, stand up. Boy, he just thinks he's having a good dream, a vision of some kind, but he's still in the vision. He responds, I've had some good dreams before. You know, I went through some trials. This is not in my notes, but I just feel like telling this right now. Just now, come to me. I went through a really hard place a few years ago. I don't want to talk about that and dwell on that, but some things happened to me. And they never had. I'd heard other people talk about things like this, but I'd never had it. And I don't know. You hear other people describe certain things. These things, two different times, real close together, it happened in the night. And first of all, I was, you know, laying there. I knew I was awake. I knew my wife was there. That's what was strange about it. And I seen looked like a huge boulder, you know, way up above the ceiling of my room there. And I could see it coming down toward me. And it did come all the way down and laid on my chest. And it was literally so heavy on my chest. It was pushing the life out of me. It was pushing the breath out of me. I was dying and I knew it. And I knew that if I could wake up April beside me, I think she'd already drifted off, that she could probably help me get that off and I'd be fine. But, you know, I couldn't. Finally, I did, you know, was able to get out of that and it was passed. And I don't know. To this day, I still don't know what it was. Probably a lot of stress. But it wasn't too much longer. Maybe a week or two, similar deal happened. I knew I was awake. I knew what was going on around me. I seen two hands coming up way like that stone was. And it was two hands like this. And it come right down and got me around the neck and just begin to, again, I knew I was dying. I couldn't breathe. There was nothing I could do about it. You know, and I've told you before, when I was in the hospital years ago, and I couldn't pray, and I knew that, I knew I was dying. I could tell by those around me that something wasn't right. And I was going in and out of consciousness. You know, and I do not know, I am not standing here being bragging and boastful. I don't know, Brother Arnold, what it will be the next time. But I can tell you what it will be the last time. I did not want to die. I didn't want to leave my family, my wife, my children were crying. I didn't want to, but I couldn't pray. There was not one thing I could do about it. The only thing I can stand here and tell you tonight with confidence, I wasn't afraid. I know that sounds odd and strange to say I didn't want to. I was conscious enough to know that I was dying, and I knew I didn't want to die. But I wasn't afraid to die. And I learned something about God right then. The devil can't scare you with death. If you're born again and you're saved and you know you are, man, I wish my voice would get better right now. I'd like to preach for about 5 more minutes. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Amen. And so, anyway, after that deal, I told April, I said, anything, if I'm acting funny, if I'm moving or if I'm making noises or something, wake me up and help me get out of that. Amen. Wasn't too long. A few days later, I was having one of them good Holy Ghost spells. And either I was preaching real good like I never have or speaking. And I was speaking in other tongues. I was getting blessed. And she's shaking me, waking me up. I said, don't ever do that again. If I'm doing that, leave me alone. I was having a good service. I was in a good meeting. But right in that midst of that horrible storm I was going through, God ministered to me. Ooh, holy, 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 holy. Oh, come on, church. I'm speaking to somebody tonight. The devil tried to scare us with fear, but we've got a God that has a strong arm, a long hand, and he's able. Man, Peter, what are you going to do? Get up, bind on your sandals. Let's go. And when he stood up, y'all get in this church, this act of faith. He stood up. How many people have stood in churches when conviction and the Spirit of God was drawing them because he loved them and because he wanted to help them? It wasn't he was wanting to dangle them over hell by shoestring, Brother Carlton. He just loved them so much. Man, I wish I could present God that way. He loves you so much that he lets things happen sometimes. And that's why, you know, that's what it was with Peter. And I've seen him hold to the back of the seat. I've seen him say no when all they would have had to do was just step out of the pew and start down the aisle. And I have seen that happen too, Brother Dickie. When they done that, the chains just fell off. I've heard people say, I saved before I ever got to the altar. I know they had to repent. I know they had to ask Christ into their life. I know they had to go down the Roman road. I get all of that. But what the deal is, the bondage of sin was holding them. Had to turn loose when they took a step toward God. Oh, thank you, Jesus. So Peter gets up, walks out the first ward, second ward, all the way out. The angel's walking with him. He got his shoes on, got outside. Got through that first street there, and all of a sudden the angel's gone. And that's when Peter realizes, this really did happen to me. It's really me, and I'm really out. I know when I went to bed last night, I was in there somewhere. But I know now I'm out here, and I know this bright light that was with me just a few minutes ago is gone. Again, where did Peter head? He headed to the church. Lift your hands, saints, and worship God for a minute. Woo! Give him praise. Give him praise. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He has a long, long. Try to get a picture of that in your mind. He has a long hand and it's outstretched. Oh, he loves you so much. He loves you so much. Thank you, Jesus. You know, by the end of chapter 12, the beginning of chapter 12, I read to you those first four verses. The long arm of the law is being exercised. Herod has stretched out his hand. By the end of chapter 12, Herod is a dead man. Not only is he a dead man, he has been totally consumed by flesh-eating worms. There's nothing left of him. It all happened in that one chapter. Oh, I feel the Holy Ghost and I feel the anointing and I feel like I'm preaching to somebody and I really feel like I'm helping somebody tonight. That big thing that seems to have such a hold on your life that's keeping you from being what you can be and could be and should be for God. When you stand up in the middle of that and take your stand, that big old thing that's been a giant over your life would just completely dissipate. It can be in the name of Jesus. Am I telling you right, church? Am I preaching right here tonight? Amen. Hallelujah. Would you stand with me in the house of the Lord tonight? I know they're going to get ready to sing, but would y'all do with me like you did this morning? Amen. Because I like it when y'all, I love to hear y'all sing. Sister Legina, would you hit a G chord on that piano and see if I can find it somewhere? My voice is in a bad, bad shape. Y'all can go ahead and put that up. I think you got it back there in the outline. Let's sing it without music because y'all know it. When I think of where I came from and how Jesus brought me out from a life of shame and sorrow, lost in sin without a doubt. With all my heart I want to praise Him for His love He gave to me. When the precious hand of Jesus, woo, glory, glory. Hey, look at that second verse. Like a man locked up in prison with no one to go my bail. Every time I sought for freedom, all endeavors only failed. Does that sound like where you are tonight? There I was
In sin's dark dungeon, bound in chains of misery, until the Lord unlocked my chains and set me free. Hallelujah. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Man, somebody needs to get a hold of this tonight. I'm telling you, the master locksmith is in the house tonight. He can loose you from those chains that have you bound. Oh, yes. From the depths of the pit, I tried so hard that I could touch him. There, my despair, I cried so loud. Yet it seemed no one could hear me. Lost and undone, full of sin and so corrupt. God's hand reached further down. How many of y'all were here a few weeks ago when my dad was here? Right after the 4th of July. I thought about that so many times. They were up there at Grand Lake somewhere on a dock. My great nephew was holding a little bucket, maybe a minnow bucket or bucket of some kind on that dock. He had on a life jacket. But I guess he got down on his knees, probably the way I imagined it. And he was trying to dip that bucket down in that lake to get water in it. When the bucket took water and filled up, it overbalanced him. Pulled him off in the water. My dad just happened to walk by and he said all he could see was a little hand. He just happened to be there with life jacket on. But in the child's panic moment, he wouldn't turn loose the bucket. And that bucket was holding him under. Life jacket and all, holding him down. And my dad's 80 years old. He reached down, got a hold of that little hand, started trying to pull him up. He got his head up enough. He said, "Son, turn loose of that bucket." Man, I need to say that to somebody tonight. Turn loose. Turn loose of that thing that's holding you. Turn loose of that thing that's pulling you in. Man, we've got a God that's got a long arm. And He wants to reach way down to where you are. I'm not just trying to single somebody out tonight. I don't do that. That's not what I'm doing. I preach to people all the time. We have a large congregation. There's people. I'm preaching to people all over this congregation. Something has got a hold of you. It may not be that you're lost in sin and so corrupt and away from God. I don't mean that. But there are things that get a hold of us in our life that we think we can't turn loose of. And it's taken us down and taken us under. Amen. But if I can reach up and get a hold of His hand, Brother Theron, and turn loose of that thing that's pulling me under, I tell you what's going to happen. God's going to pull you out. Where's my singers tonight? Y'all ready? Y'all going to sing tonight? I feel the Lord trying to woo somebody in here. It's not just somebody. It's not just one person. There's a lot of folks I'm preaching to tonight. That something is bothering you. Something's holding you. Something is agitating you. Something is tormenting you. Oh, I wish I could help somebody here. I find so much of the time that people oftentimes that have been raised like a lot of us have, they've allowed something to get in their life. A lot of times it's wrong information. It wasn't necessary that somebody was trying to lie to you or trying to lead you astray. They just didn't know how to disciple you, and they give you something that's wrong. Or maybe you took it wrong. Maybe I took it wrong. And all of a sudden, it's just like that bucket. I was trying, but all of a sudden, it got filled up with something else. And it overbalanced me and pulled me off and pulled me down. It's taken me under. Sometimes some of those things are the hardest things to turn loose of. Because it's people we loved and trusted. We look and we say, I can never do that. I can never live that way. I can never go that direction. Yeah, I wish people just quit worrying about stuff like that and realize you've got a God that loves you so much He's going to help you where you are. And He's going to pull you up from where you are. And He's just going to, as long as you let hang on to His hand, He's going to keep on drawing you. Keep on helping you. Some people get there faster than others. Some people move. Make choices different than others. I just want to tell you tonight, you've got a God that loves you. Right now, whoever you are, you're in a safe place tonight. Can I get a witness, church? If you're a sinner, if you're a backslider, if you're somebody that's hurt or trouble, I don't know, there may not be any sinners in the house at all. I'm not saying there is. I don't know everybody's heart. But I do know there's a lot of people struggling. And I do know I've got a God with a long hand and a strong arm. I know there's young people right here tonight that I'm preaching to. You've went through some things that you don't understand. You may be battling some things. There may be some things you're going through right now that the enemy would like to start filling your bucket up with a bunch of stuff that's going to overpower you and tip you over. Let me tell you some good news tonight. I just keep wanting to say this over and over and over. God loves you so much. I mean, He loves you so much. God never delights. If you've heard a preacher tell you that God delights in judgment, he lied to you. God never delights in judgment. He delights in mercy. He delights in forgiveness. I really don't even know how to give this altar call tonight. This morning I asked for the young people to come and the elders gather around them. All I know is I'd just like for it to start here really soon. Got a good crowd, a good congregation here tonight, and I know there's people that need help. Would you respond to the call tonight? Don't worry about what somebody's going to say, what they're going to do. I promise you, we have people here in our church that are trained to pray with you, to encourage you, whatever position you may happen to be in right now, or whatever level you may be at, they'll help you. I'd encourage you. There may be some tonight we haven't prayed for the sick. There may be some that need prayer for their body tonight. We'll do that. While they sing, go ahead with the verse. Everybody that's saved tonight, would you just worship for a moment? While they're singing this song, give God the praise. You'd still be in that same old place if His hand hadn't reached down and pulled you up. You'd never been able to get out by yourself. Lost in sin without a doubt.